You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We are talking Cubs baseball again this Monday, May 23rd. Kerry Muscat joining us as always. Kerry, thank you for the time, and it took nearly 50 games, but we finally have some struggles and some difficulties to talk about for this Cubs team. They've dropped 7 of 11. You knew it was going to happen at some point. You know, they were at one time a ridiculous 25-6. They're now a slightly less ridiculous 29-13. They're still lapping the field in the NL Central, so no worries there. But, you know, there's kind of a saying, you learn the most about a team when things aren't going great. And right now things aren't going great. Again, 7 of 11 that they've lost. So your observations of this team throughout these last 11 games, what are one or two things that you've learned or that you've seen as the Cubs are not winning every night now?
Well, I think it's, unfortunately, when in watching the Cubs against the Giants, it reminded me a little too much about the series last October against the Mets in the NLCS. And I, when you have really good pitching that shuts them down, and that's something that the Cubs are going to have to figure out, you know, is how do they beat Madison Bumgarner, you know, because a lot of people have been talking about how the Cubs-Giants might be meeting once again in October, and that would be for a little bit more than just regular season honors. It, you know, they're going to go through slumps. They weren't going to hit, you know, 500 or whatever for the entire season. I know that I kind of looked at the stats from the loss to the Pirates at home when Gerrit Cole made a brash statement, where he said that he didn't think the Cubs were the greatest team. Since that game on May 15th, they're 2-5. They've been hitting .197, and they're only averaging 2.7 runs per game. And before that, they were averaging about 6 runs per game. So, you know, the pitching is starting to catch up a little bit, and I think most people that watch baseball knows that it takes a while for the pitching to kind of catch up. The hitters sort of have the edge in spring training. Pitchers are starting to get their feel now, and Cubs have to figure out a way to beat guys.
Of course, and, you know, baseball, as they say, the ultimate game of adjustments, and now it's on the Cubs' plate to adjust. As you said, the pitching is starting to catch up with them ever so slightly, so we'll see what adjustments this team makes going forward. And, Kerry, you know, we sing Joe Maddon's praises all the time, and rightfully so. And just in reading his comments to yourself and other media members, it's really hard to tell if he's won 10 straight or lost 10 straight. And in your, you know, face-to-face dealings with him, is that the sort of demeanor he always presents, that no matter how well things are going or how not well they're going, always present this even keel to keep yourself grounded?
That's all. He takes it day by day, one day at a time. And as cliche as that sounds, it works for him, and that's the message that he wants to get across to the team. If they lose 18-0, if they win 18-0, it's just he wants them to react the same. If they win, they get their 10 minutes to celebrate, and then boom, they forget about it and move on to the next game. If they lose, they get their, I think he gives them 30 minutes to pout, and then they can move on to the next game. So it's really it's a grind. It's a long season, and they can't worry too much about what happened in San Francisco. That's time to move on. You've got to face the Cardinals, who are up for a little bit of a rematch. I'm sure they didn't like being swept when the Cubs were last here just a month ago. So this should be an interesting series.
It's going to be a fun one, which begins tonight, Monday night, in St. Louis. And before we look ahead to that, you know, frightening incident Saturday in San Francisco for the second time this season, a Cubs outfielder involved in a very frightening collision. This time it's, you know, Jason Hayward with the wall. I know that you weren't at San Francisco, Kerry, this past weekend, but I don't know if you saw the play as it happened. But if so, or when you did see it for the first time, were you thinking to yourself, worst case scenario? Because I think a lot of people were. I know I was when I first saw it, the way that he kind of went awkwardly into that wall. I think the diagnosis was a rib cage contusion, and all things considered, I think Hayward extremely fortunate that this was not much more serious.
I was watching, and whenever Arrieta pitches, Arrieta started that game, I was actually sitting at home and keeping score, and I know I wasn't sitting for long when Hayward slammed into the wall. It had to be one of the greatest catches I've ever seen.
True.
which is, you know, sort of sounds very morbid, but I mean, the fact that he actually tracked that ball down and held on to it is incredible. The fact that he got up and walked off the field on his own power is even more incredible. I mean, he went right into the wall. Miraculously, they say that he should only miss 3 to 5 days. He did not play, obviously, Saturday, Sunday, and it's questionable whether or not he'll be ready for this series against the Cardinals. Maybe in a perfect world, they would wait, because I know most teams, when a guy is hurt, they like to give him that one extra day, so maybe they'll wait until they get home to Chicago on Friday. But he's very fortunate that he survived. I loved his quote where he said, God was keeping an eye out for him. And he's as Madden said, he thought for sure that this was a head or neck injury, which would have been incredibly severe, and it wasn't. So, like I say, miraculously, Jason is alive and recovering.
Yeah, thankfully, because, as we alluded to, when you first see that play, you're thinking head, neck, concussions, spine, all these horrible things going through your head. But thankfully, just a ribcage contusion, which is no picnic, but considering what it could have been, Jason Heyward, a very lucky man. And it was on last week's podcast, Kerry, we talked about Jason Heyward finally, or wanting that first home run of the season, and he finally got it. And the timing of it was so interesting because it came Tuesday night. The Cubs were one strike away from being shut out against Chase Anderson, who took the no-hitter into the eighth inning. Heyward homers for the first time all year. Another homer after that to make it a 4-2 final. But in speaking with him after the game, he's not known as a power guy, a big home run guy, but still, you don't want to have that goose egg in the home run column, no matter who you are, come late May as June is quickly approaching. How relieved was he to finally, get that first home run?
Well, he pretty much downplayed it, said that he knew that he was going to hit home runs and didn't make it sound like it was a relief, just, time to move on and we'll go from there. So I'm really, the time off now because of this collision with the wall might help him. He'd been bothered by a sore wrist. So actually this gives him a few extra days to sort of heal that. So maybe the time comes at a good time for him.
Yeah, if there ever is a good time to get hurt, maybe this is it. So he finally gets that first home run. He can, heal up and lick his wounds a little bit after, coming away relatively unscathed for an injury that could have been a lot worse against the Giants this past weekend. And going back to that series, the only game the Cubs won against the Giants, obviously Jake Arrieta, his usual self on Friday, 7 innings, 1 run, 8 Ks, ho-hum. But after the game, and, you said this is something that Joe Maddon kind of says after every Arrieta start, save for the no-hitter, basically the refrain is, well, he was great, but he could be even better. I get the feeling that maybe Joe Maddon feels like he can, quote-unquote, get away with saying that because he knows how insanely competitive Arrieta is and how critical he is of himself and of his own performance. And I get the feeling that, maybe he couldn't quite say something like that about another player that doesn't quite have the mental makeup of a Jake Arrieta. Do you agree?
Well, Arrieta says the same thing about himself as well. I mean, he's been saying that he feels he can also pitch better, too, and get to another level. And again, it goes back to pitchers. It takes them a little time to get their rhythm and get their feel, into the season. And I think Jake had some difficulties with some of his off-speed pitches before the Giants, and the starts before the Giants game, and maybe got a little more back on track with that. But there is another level for him. I think I keep having flashbacks to the no-hitter at Dodger Stadium. That was an incredible moment and where it started. So let's see how long this goes.
Yeah, agreed. Now, when he says, I can get to another level, is he referring to the level he reached last year, or does he think there's even another level that he can surpass from how excellent he was in 2015?
Well, I just think, I just think that it's a matter of avoiding the big innings that he had. It's avoiding just walks, avoiding some of the setbacks he has, some of the little blips that he has during a game. It's really just, I think in Jake's mind, he wants to throw a perfect game, and I think every pitcher actually thinks that when they first take the mound. Jake just is so competitive that that's his mission, and I think that until he does that, he's not going to be satisfied.
And that's an incredible state of mind to have for any pitcher. Most pitchers go out there thinking that, but only a very select few actually have the skill to pull it off. So Jake Arrieta is amongst that very short list of pitchers who says, I'm going to throw a perfect game, and by God, he could do it every fifth day if he really wants to. Kerry, to begin to wrap up here, as we have touched on already, another huge series with the arch-rival Cardinals beginning tonight's Monday night. John Lackey back on the mound, and we recall how dominant he was the first time around against his former team. I think that still stands as his best start of the season. What are some other storylines you're kind of following in these next five or six games as the Cubs look to turn around this little mini slump that they're in?
Well, pretty much that's it. It's just to see how they respond. You know, let's see if they get back on track. I mean, Ben Zobrist is the one guy who's been incredibly consistent at the plate. You know, he can't carry the team for the whole time. So let's see who else can pick it up. You know, Anthony Rizzo's been in a little bit of a funk. Addison Russell's been in a little bit of a funk. You know, let's see if those guys can pick it up. The thing that's still very impressive to me, and I know, again, every time I get asked about the Cubs, they're all talking about the run differential. But what's so impressive to me is the way the pitching has been. I mean, John Lester in this series against the Giants, that was the first game on Saturday where a starting pitcher did not go five innings. And someone with the Cardinals was just telling me that the Cardinals have, you know, Wainwright has not been able to do that consistently all year. So for the Cubs to have their pitching be as solid as it's been, that's the thing that they really have to rely on, and the hitting needs to step up to sort of give the pitchers a little bit of a cushion so they don't have to feel like they have to throw a perfect game to win.
Yeah, that's an amazing stat you brought up with John Lester. I don't think he made it out of the third, but first time all season that Cubs pitcher, Cubs starter, did not go five innings, and that's something that every other of the 29 teams in baseball would crave. No question there. So we'll see what happens with the Cubs as they take on the Cardinals. It's always fun. And, Kerry, this is always fun. We'll do it again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.